Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise that we are citizens of the kingdom of God, that salvation unveils us to the kingdom of God, that salvation unveils the reality of your kingdom within us and amongst us, that salvation opens us to the wonder of being citizens of an eternal kingdom, a kingdom that is unveiled in the mount of the Lord, a kingdom that unveils in the reality of who you are and all that you are, a kingdom built on grace, grace upon grace, a kingdom built through the fullness of Jesus Christ, communicated into us and amongst us, a kingdom of love, a kingdom, O God, that stands in the triumph of the cross, a kingdom that proclaims a new creation, a kingdom that unveils a true and faithful witness, a kingdom that is built for the glory of your majesty, a kingdom that is established in your power, a kingdom that is established in your righteousness, a kingdom that rises out of holiness unto you, Father. So we are citizens of this kingdom because we are purchased in the blood of the Lamb. We are not citizens because of our own merits, but we are citizens because of the merits of the Lamb, because of who Jesus is, because of what he has done for us, because of his faith and his love that stands over our life, because of his testimony that has been given to us to receive and realize. For your word declares that of his fullness we have all received, Father. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That realization unveils in the substance of the Master's fullness. That realization is the unveiling of a reality that is of the kingdom of God. The kingdom is manifested on his shoulders, Father. He is wonderful. He is counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. And on his shoulders, the kingdom of the living God, the government of that kingdom will be established, Father. So unveil the Lord Jesus Christ to us so that our salvation will be purely and perfectly conformed to him, Father. It will be an expression of him coming alive in us so that we will realize in his faith and his love realized within us the reality of being, O God, citizens of your kingdom, Father. So let your kingdom come and let your will be done in us and amongst us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's look at John chapter 3 again. John chapter 3, from verse 3 to verse 5. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." We are on the subject of salvation, and we are saying that salvation unveils in a reality of the kingdom. And you and I are being invited by God to enter into the kingdom of God. And we enter into the kingdom of God according to what the Lord Jesus expresses in verse 5. That by water and the Spirit, we enter into the kingdom of God. We have already done in the past modules that water represents the Rhema word of God. And we have also in John 6:63 seen that the Rhema word of God is open to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. And that reality of the witness of God's word is brought to us by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. And everything that God brings to us by the Spirit in the Rhema word, which is the testimony of Jesus, unveils us to the kingdom of God, unveils us to the reality of us being a people who are saved. And as people who are saved, we are asked to take hold of our citizenship in the kingdom of God. Citizenship through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Citizenship by setting our hope on what Jesus has given to us in his merits. Because we are going to enter the kingdom of God and grow in the kingdom of God based on the name of Jesus. we are going to unveil in the kingdom of God as a people who have received and realized his fullness. You remember John 1:16. Of his fullness we have all received. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And this realization of grace and truth within us opens us to the kingdom of God. You remember Luke chapter 17, verse 20 and 21, where the Pharisees asked the Lord Jesus Christ, how do we know the sign of the kingdom? And Jesus said, the kingdom is coming not with signs to be observed. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. New King James Bible. Behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. New American Standard. So the kingdom of God is an intimacy that is open to our hearts, an intimacy that we are called to unveil amongst all of us. And in that intimacy, we are supposed to be one church, the body of Christ, the fullness of him who must fill all in all. With that introduction, let's come back to what I want to do today, which is to talk about this reality of water and the Spirit, right? The Rhema word. What does God do with water that enables us to enter into the kingdom of God? What does God do with the water of his word, to enable us to enter the kingdom of God? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we shall read for context from verse 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. The Greek word for word there is rhema. So the rhema word washes us. It has an action like water that washes. What happens when God washes us? Verse 27, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. That she should be holy and blameless. So we need to understand that water purifies us. That the fundamental witness of God to us is a witness that purifies us. It removes from us every form of spot and wrinkle. It manifests us spotless and blameless. What the law could not do, the Rhema word unveiled to us in the spirit and life of Jesus is able to do with us. People who tried to live by the law were shut under the law. All they discovered was what they could do and what they could not do. The law said, you have sinned. The law said and declared that the wages of sin is death. But in the new covenant, God has opened us to a living witness. And the difference between the witness of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament is this reality of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now God is explaining the word to us in fulfilled terms. He's explaining the word to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. And lo and behold, the word of God is unveiling to us in a different plane, in a higher plane. And in this plane, there is a power that is working in us. There is a power that is in the word. And that power is able to do functions inside of us. And one of the fundamental functions of the water of the word is to cleanse us supernaturally. Now this tells you that the kingdom of God is built on holiness. The kingdom of God is unveiled in a purity. And the purpose of the word of God is to purify us so that we can come alive to the kingdom of God. So that we can have a desire for the things of the kingdom of God. Unless you are purified, you cannot have a desire for the things of God. And so the word of God unveiled to you as Rhema word, unveiled to you in the spirit and life of Jesus, is able to change you until you one day become spotless and blameless. And that's what Ephesians is declaring. And so you must understand that the water of the word is so very fundamental to us entering into the kingdom of God. And this is because it performs a function of purifying us. Right? So verse 27 says, so that you will be holy and blameless, isn't it? It says that you will be holy and blameless. Amen? Praise the Lord. That she should be holy and blameless. Praise the Lord. The kingdom of God unveils in the reality of the Mount of the Lord. I want to talk about that. Right? The kingdom of God unveils in the reality of the Mount of the Lord. And access into the Mount of the Lord depends on a pure heart. How high you can go into the kingdom of God, how high you can rise in the kingdom of God depends on how high you can ascend into the Mount of the Lord. And that ascent comes from your heart. And it depends on the purity of your heart. Now, how do we have a pure heart? Very simple. Your heart absorbs the Word of God. And as the Word of God is manifested in its realities in your heart, it starts purifying your heart. And in that pure heart, you ascend into the Mount of the Lord. All right? So the kingdom of God is not a static reality. It is a dynamic reality that is an ascent into the Mount of the Lord. Are you listening? All right? And this ascent into the Mount of the Lord was spoken of in Psalm 24. Let's turn to that. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Psalm of David. Right? Psalm of David. Now David prophetically represents the well-beloved. That's the name. That's the meaning of the name David, the well-beloved. Right? So it is talking about the name of David and all of those psalms that he talked of, that he wrote, have in their innermost witness a desire for intimacy with God. And so David writes here in Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully. And immediately people will say, when am I going to have a pure heart? This is the answer God has for you. If you receive my word will work into you a pure heart. And therefore, what is declared in these two verses is available to each and every one of us. Because God wants to wash us through the washing of the water of the Word. Amen? And the purpose for this is so that we can ascend into the Mount of the Lord. Amen? And this is very important. This ascent into the Mount of the Lord. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. Except by my word. Now the person who is talking here is the prophet Elijah. And he's making a statement here that is part and parcel of the prophets. He's saying here that he holds a position in which he stands before God. Now physically, he was standing before King Ahab. But spiritually, he was occupying a place before God. So where was Elijah operating from? He was operating from the Mount of the Lord. He was operating in a position that God had opened to him in the Mount of the Lord. And in that position, he was able to say what he said. Now you must understand that we are now in the new covenant. And the new covenant unveils in the fulfillment of the prophets. The new covenant unveils in the fulfillment of the law. The new covenant unveils in the merits of the Lamb. The new covenant opens in the faith and love of Jesus. The new covenant is to be manifested to us in the merits of the Lamb. And in this new covenant, all of us are meant to stand in the Mount of the Lord. Not because we are able to, But because the power of God at work in us is so powerful that it will enable us to rise into the mount of the Lord. Now this is what is important about the Word of God. When the Word of God is brought into you as Rhema Word, Word that is described in the Spirit and life of Jesus, it has the capacity to cleanse you. It has the capacity to purify you. It has the capacity to change you and enable you to rise into the mount of the Lord at the speed of thought, at the speed of intent and desire. Praise the Lord. And all that God has opened to you. Are you listening? He has opened it to you in the merits of the Lamb. So when Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," the veil in the temple was torn. The veil in the temple was torn because of what he accomplished. And what does that open to us? It opens to us an access into the kingdom of God. It opens us into a reality that stands behind the veil. Behind the veil stands the reality of the kingdom of God. And the reality of the kingdom of God unveils in something that is spiritually called the Mount of the Lord. Now, one of the first names that God introduced to Abraham was the name the Most High God, El Elyon. And so you realize, so you see that the Mount of the Lord is a spiritual expression of the reality of His name. It's a spiritual expression of who God is and all that God is. And as we come to know God more and more, we ascend into the Mount of the Lord. But to know God, you need to understand that this Mount of the Lord opens to a pure heart. That's why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Amen? They shall see God. All of us sitting here can see God. We don't see physically, but we see with our spiritual eyes. We see with our heart. Just now we sang a song about touching the Lord our God. How do we touch God? With our heart. Hello? How do we relate to God? With our heart. Our heart is entirely designed for God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And you need to understand that loving the Lord your God with all your heart is the law of God. And that law is meant to be fulfilled so that you can, in that reality of loving God, be opened to everything that stands in the Mount of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Alright. So this Mount of the Lord is a reality of God's provision for each and every one of us. If you are going to be a minister of the Lord, you have to learn how to stand in the Mount of the Lord. You have to learn how to minister like Elijah did. You have to know in your heart that you stand before God. You must know that your heart is a channel for the power of God to manifest. You are designed for it. You are designed in spirit, soul, and body so that God can truly manifest His presence within you, which is why the New Testament says that you are a temple. Right? Are you listening? So we are called to ascend into the Mount of the Lord. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. You know the story. Abraham is told to sacrifice Isaac. And at the time in which he is about to strike Isaac, the Lord tells him to stop. And in verse 14, it reads, "And Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide,' or 'Yahweh Yireh.'" All right? "The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the Mount of the Lord it will be provided. In the Mount of the Lord it will be seen." If you have a King James Bible, it says, "In the Mount of the Lord it will be seen." If you have a New American Standard, it says, "In the Mount of the Lord it will be provided." What does it say? You must ascend into the Mount of the Lord to receive and realize God's true treasures. You must ascend into the Mount of the Lord to receive and realize the true treasures of God. The true treasures of God are treasures of His kingdom. You are entitled to those treasures in the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you in yourself must be willing to rise into the mount of the Lord. You must know that God is able to use His word to purify you so that by the Holy Spirit you can rise into the mount of the Lord. Are you listening? Praise the Lord. And you have the capacity to do that because God has designed you for that. Anyone in Christ Jesus, anyone who can function by the Holy Spirit, is called to function from a position that stands in the mount of the Lord. Now, physically you can be anywhere in the world, but spiritually you can stand in the mount of the Lord. Amen? Got that? Praise the Lord. What is the law of this mountain? Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 43. The last 8 chapters of the book of Ezekiel are a messianic vision. Now, one of the realities in this messianic vision is that God opens the mount of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I wanted to tell you something about the mount of the Lord. What is the law that operates on the mount of the Lord? So we are going to look at Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 7 and verse 12. And in this vision, the Lord talks to Ezekiel. And he said to me, "Son of man, this is the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell among the sons of Israel forever. And the house of Israel will not again defile my holy name." Verse 12, "This is the law of the house, its entire area on the top of the mountain. All around shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house." Amen. God is telling us something very powerful here. The kingdom of God stands in the mount of the Lord. And God has made that mountain the reality in which His dwelling will be unveiled. And He's saying that this house, this reality of His dwelling with us, is opened in a reality that stands behind the veil in the kingdom of God, open to you in the mount of the Lord. And the law of this mountain is a law of holiness. Now, what does this tell you? That's why the water of the word purifies you, so that you become holy and blameless. Right? We just read that in Ephesians, right? It makes you holy and blameless. Right? Hello. What you could not do under the law. Under the law, none of us could be holy. Because holiness represents purity and perfection. Alright? But in the fulfillment of the law, through the testimony of Jesus being unveiled in you, explaining the word of God to you in the spirit and life of Jesus, bringing the word of God to you in the character and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, fashioning and forming the word of God to you in conformance to Christ Jesus, you can be holy unto God. Can you see that? That as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ more and more, you will become holy. You will become more and more pure. It just happens like that. Right? Under the law, you tried your best. Under grace, you receive Jesus. And as you receive Jesus, He changes you. As you receive Jesus, your heart is purified. Amen? So in this pure heart that God is creating, a heart of flesh, what does that pure heart represent? The fullness of Jesus Christ that you have come to receive and realize. The more of Jesus you receive and realize, the more purer your heart will be. And the higher you will be in the mount of the Lord. It all happens at the speed of thought. We are talking here about spiritual things. We are not talking here about intellectual things. You cannot step out of this room and see where is the mount of the Lord. The mount of the Lord opens from your heart. And your heart ascends into the mount of the Lord by the Spirit of God. Are you listening? Now, in the mount of the Lord, God opens to us the depths of God. Let's look at another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Let's read for context from verse 9. Things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now all this, what the eye has not seen, what the ear has not heard, what has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him is a reality that stands in the kingdom of God. It's a reality that unveils in the mount of the Lord. Do you understand that? Because Yahweh Yireh is a reality that unveils in the mount of the Lord. God provides in the mount of the Lord. So what he is providing to you, what the ear has not seen, what the ear has not heard, what the eye has not seen, which has not entered the heart of man, is a reality that unveils in the mount of the Lord. Can you see that? And now let's look at verse 10. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Praise the Lord. So, through the water of the Word, God purifies us. By the Holy Spirit, He brings us into the mount of the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus said, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot ascend into this kingdom, into this mount of the Lord that unveils the kingdom in your intellectual capacity. You can only ascend into this kingdom of God by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus unveiling to you through the word that is explained to you in the Spirit and life of Jesus. Are you listening? And all this is open to you so that you can arise to be the instruments that God has chosen you to be from the foundations of the world. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you listening? Right? So God has opened us to citizenship in the kingdom of God. And citizenship in the kingdom of God means that God has opened to you the access into the depths of God. Praise the Lord. And those depths are meant to be open to your heart. And those depths are an unveiling of the riches of God's salvation. His salvation plan. Salvation is not about just about going to heaven. Salvation is about realizing your capacity to live, move, and have your being in God. Salvation is about realizing all that God has given you in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And when you look at the cross, all of the fullness of Jesus Christ is given to you. You must choose to receive him. You must choose to realize his fullness. And the purpose of the word of God is to bring into you that fullness. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's look at another function of water. Let's turn to the book of Titus. Titus in the New Testament. Just before the book of Hebrews. Right? A couple of books before Hebrews. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness. Isn't that good? But according to his mercy. How? By the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. By washing. How does he wash us? With the water of the word. What happens when he washes us with the water of the word? There is a process of renewal and regeneration taking place within you. Who does that process of renewal and regeneration within you? God the Holy Spirit. What does renewal represent? The old becoming new. What does regeneration represent? The dead becoming alive. So in the process of renewal and regeneration, what is God doing? He is creating you. Praise the Lord. So the reason why you can be spotless and blameless is because this washing with the water of the Word by the Holy Spirit is a supernatural process that is creative. It can bring into you something absolutely brand new. Now, renewal and regeneration is part and parcel of what we have addressed before as the technology of God. Hello. There is one Creator God, and He has His technology too. And His technology is absolutely supreme. It cannot be duplicated by anybody else. It is His technology. He holds all the patents. But this technology is meant to be revealed through you and me. And one of the fundamental realities of this technology of God is to make you a new creation. Hello. To make you what God wants you to become. And you must understand that nothing is impossible with God. Can we become citizens of the kingdom of God? Absolutely so. Right? Nothing is going to stop us except ourselves. Nothing is going to stop us because the process is entirely of God. The process is something God brings into us. As long as we are willing to open our hearts to receive and realize the witness of the Lord, we will be renewed and regenerated. We will unveil as a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new creation that is entirely the workmanship of the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hello. We are created in Christ Jesus. How? Through the Rhema word. Because the Rhema word brings into us His Spirit and His life. And as God takes the Word of God and works it into us in His Spirit and His life, we are created in Christ Jesus. Because His Spirit and His life communicates the substance of His fullness. And that manifests us as a new creation. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this fullness of Jesus Christ is worked into us in processes that are called renewal and regeneration. Processes of the Word that are unveiled in us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if you and I can be renewed and regenerated in the Spirit and life of Jesus Christ, we can be anything in conformance to Christ Jesus. Amen. The more we understand the Word of God and receive it and realize it in the name of Jesus, the more awesome will be the change that God manifests in our lives. Praise the Lord. You remember the example of Elijah? Elijah was a prophet. And under the anointing that operated on his life, he was partially open to this reality of the kingdom of God. And do you realize that he says to Ahab, "By the words of my mouth, it will not rain in this country until I say so." Hello. Do you realize that he was speaking of a reality that was entirely beyond the realm of human reality? He was putting on a reality that stood in the authority of God, that stood in the will of God. Amen. And in that simple example, God shows us what kind of power God and authority God has invested in each one of our lives in our salvation. Praise the Lord. So part of this process of salvation that God has opened us is the realization of what we are in God, a realization of our position in God, a realization of the power that is invested in that position, a realization of the purity in which that power and that authority is invested. Now all that God will bring inside of us and work into us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through the washing of the water of the Word. So Jesus says, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot see all these realities. Right? If you attempt to read the Bible intellectually, you will never enter into these realities. But if you read the Bible in the understanding that there is a revelation knowledge open to you in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, all that we are talking about will become part and parcel of your life. It will take time, but it will surely come to pass. Why? Because this is the will of God. It is the will of God to unveil you to His kingdom. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Now what does the statement thy kingdom come mean? Make me alive to your kingdom. The kingdom of God is there. Thy kingdom come. Where must God's kingdom come first? It has to come alive to you. Then it must also connect all of us. Right? And in our midst, the kingdom of God will be revealed. Are you with me? Now this kingdom is a kingdom of great promise. This kingdom is a kingdom that unveils in the glory of God. This kingdom you are called to see, to enter into, and to function from. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is part and parcel of the reality of your salvation. Praise the Lord. Are you listening? All right. Now, how do we enter into this reality? Through this word called hope. Through this word called hope. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. We shall not go into the order of Melchizedek, but I want to focus on this word called hope. It says there that in this word called hope, when you understand this word hope in the context of God's word, it is telling you that hope opens you to a reality behind the veil. Hope opens you to a reality behind the veil at the speed of thought, in such a way that your soul can be anchored behind the veil. Are you listening, brethren? Right? That's not difficult. Right? Faith is the substance of hope. So what is faith designed to establish within you? The substance of your hope, so that you can be anchored behind the veil in the mount of the Lord 24 hours of the day. So that you can occupy an actual spiritual position from your heart behind the veil. Praise the Lord. Are you listening? And this word hope, right, has to be set on the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Let's look at another verse that tells you something about hope. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. 'Twards the end of the Bible, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Behold, right? 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Praise the Lord. Everyone who has this hope fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ purifies himself just as he is pure. What is God saying? When you read the word of God, set your hope on the reality of that word that stands in the name of Jesus. Set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ in the reality of that word. And that word will purify you even as he is pure. It will take time, but it will come forth. Right? Now Jesus Christ was pure, perfect, and holy. Rather, Jesus Christ is pure, perfect, and holy. And as you set your hope on him, you are purified even as he is pure. God is describing a spiritual process of supernatural change that is available to all of us. We are not doing this by the law anymore. We are doing this by simply setting our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing that as we set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be purified even as He is pure. Why is that so? Because when you set your hope on Him, what manifests in that hope is substance. And that substance is of Him. And that substance which is of Him is pure and holy. And that substance, the Holy Spirit, works into you in a process of renewal and regeneration that unveils you as a new creation. Does it make sense? Hello. We are created in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? We are created in the substance of His fullness. Now, how does that come about? As you set your hope on Him. As you set your hope on Him, automatically God has ordained by grace that the moment you have hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, the substance of His fullness is manifested to you. How? We don't know. It happens. And that is part and parcel of the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit, to unveil the substance of the fullness of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why in John 16 verse 14, Jesus said, He will take of mine and He will disclose it to you. Amen? He will glorify me. So that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. Unveiling the wonder of Jesus Christ in us, so that we will truly understand the awesome wonder and glory of Him. So that we will glorify Him ultimately through our lives. As we realize this awesome reality of being saved. Praise the Lord. What are we describing here? A process of salvation. A process of salvation in which you are actually being renewed and regenerated. Hello. A process of salvation that is activated simply by hope. A hope in Him that manifests the substance of Him that will enable you to be perfect and pure even as He is pure. Amen? And all this is available to all of us. And the good news is it's not based on our efforts. It is based on what God is able to do in us. We simply have to respond to God. Amen? All it requires is hope. Once there is hope, there will be faith, brethren. Because faith is the substance of hope. And that faith, which is the substance of hope, will become an evidence. And in that evidence, you will see the kingdom of God. In that evidence, you will be like Elijah, able to say, I stand before God, and by the words of my mouth. Right? This and that will not happen, or this and that will happen, whatever it is. Right? Praise the Lord. So salvation is a pretty humongous process, a pretty astonishing process. Salvation prepares us to receive, realize, and give expression to every promise God has for us. We are a chosen people. We are a very blessed people. If you listen to God's word, keeping your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be changed. It will take time. Why does it take time? Why does it take time? It takes time because everything in us has to involve our free will. God cannot do something in us if we do not want it. That's why the processes of change are slow. Because we take so much of time to agree with God. We say it takes so much of time to actually put our trust in God. We take so much of time to receive what God is saying. So unless something becomes a conviction inside of you, right? It cannot establish what God wants to do with it. So everything that God does involves you. It involves your free will. Everything that God does with you involves your free will. That's why it takes time. So, God uses the word He brings that word inside of you, and he asks you to understand it, to accept it, to receive it, right? To be convinced by it. And he said, if you can receive and accept and understand my word with a good and honest heart, I will bring into you a growth process that is 30-fold measure, 60-fold measure, 100-fold measure. Amen? Now these are growth rates unknown to the technologies of man. This is again the technology of God to cause growth in 30-fold measures, 30 times 100%. 100-fold measures, 100 times 100%. That is supernatural growth. Praise the Lord. But that is the technology of God. And salvation is all about God's technology. God's technology achieving all that he has designed to unveil through his kingdom. Praise the Lord. So the realities of this kingdom, the blessings of this kingdom, are all going to be established in your heart. And your heart is going to be the channel through which the kingdom of God is going to be manifested. All of us are asked to understand that. All of us are asked to realize that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What does that mean? It is in the coming of the kingdom, it is in the unveiling of the kingdom of God that God's will is fulfilled. Amen? So the Lord's Prayer is not as simple as we often recite it. It has got more meaning than we have the intelligence to understand, actually. Right? Thy will be done and thy kingdom come. Those are pretty impressive. Do you realize that before all that can happen, God says, hallowed be thy name. We have to learn how to hallow God's name. Why? Because as we hallow God's name, we rise into the mount of the Lord. Amen? And the greater and greater realities of the kingdom can come. Are you listening? Right? If we don't hallow the name of God, God cannot manifest his kingdom, because his kingdom is built on his glory. His kingdom is built in the greatness of his name. His kingdom is built in the reality of who he is and all that he is. And one of the key things that Jesus Christ revealed in his prayer before he went to the cross was the fact that he was going to the cross to manifest the name of God. Did you know that? Let's look at John 17, verse 6. Right? John 17, verse 6. Jesus is praying. He's making this prayer as the high priest, and he is making this prayer over the Lamb of God. And in this prayer, he says in verse 6, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Verse 26, I have made thy name known to them and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them and I in them. So how is salvation manifested? As Jesus Christ is made alive in us. As he is made alive in us, and in that process unveils the name of God within us. And the unveiling of the name of God within us opens us to the realities of the Mount of the Lord. God has provided. How has God provided? God has provided through a sacrifice. Yahweh Yireh. How is the name of the provider given to us? Through sacrifice. Amen. Of his fullness we have all received. How have we received? Through a sacrifice. What is the purpose of that sacrifice? So that his fullness will be manifested in us, enabling us to become the people that God wants us to become. So all that we can be in the kingdom of God is entirely dependent on the fullness of Jesus Christ. Which is why the Rhema word, the voice of God's word, the many waters of God's word have to come alive in us in the spirit and life of Jesus. So that in the spirit and life of Jesus, we receive the fullness of him who must fill all in all. Praise the Lord. And in the fullness of him that fills all in all, God starts unveiling the glory of his kingdom. Praise the Lord. Amen. So are you listening? So water and the Spirit. Amen. The word unveiled to us by the Holy Spirit. The word that comes to us in the testimony of Jesus. The word that is communicated in to us in the spirit and life of Jesus. That word unveils the I Am of God. And the I Am of God saves us. God saves us by who He is and by all that He is. God communicates that reality to us in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Do you realize that God has blessed you in the most profound way possible? God cannot bless you more than what He has given you in Christ Jesus. He cannot create another way that is bigger than Jesus Christ being unveiled in you. He cannot create a bigger avenue of blessing all of us than what He has given us in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that none of us deserves it? And yet all of us have it? All of us have access to this wonder of God's kingdom, the wonder of His salvation, although none of us deserves it, simply because of God's grace given to us in the merits of the Lamb. Because of God's grace that stands over our lives in the faith and love of Jesus. Amen. So we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. Can you see that? That we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made. And how will God make us? In the fullness of Jesus Christ. We are going to be created in Christ Jesus, and that creation is going to be the workmanship of God. It's going to be a living and growing expression of the technology of God, uniquely unveiled in each and every one of us. And one day the Church of Jesus Christ will shine in the heavenly places as morning stars. The glory will be so awesome. The glory will be awesome. That will be the work of God. And that which is impossible to us is possible with God. Because nothing is impossible with God. That will always be true. And because God has loved us. So listen to the words of salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever should believe in Him will have eternal life. But what a life this eternal life is going to be. What an awesome life. What an awesome reality. And all of us have been made party to receiving and realizing this reality in Jesus' name. How grateful we should be. But do you realize being grateful for all this requires God to reveal all this to us so that it becomes an evidence within us. So even for us to appreciate what God has done for us, God has to enable us to appreciate it. Right? Praise the Lord. So salvation is entirely a process undertaken by God. But we must be willing to receive that process. We must be willing to move into that process. We must be willing to do it by setting our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So can we grow as Christians? Yes. All we have to do is learn how to set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ and never let the devil take that away from us. Amen. I just want to leave you with one verse that is taken out of the book of Ephesians. And it tells you something about this word called hope. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 4 of chapter 3, Paul talks about the mystery of Christ. You see that phrase? The mystery of Christ. In verse 9, he says that this mystery is to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God, who created all things in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purposes which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. There is an awesome mystery. The mystery of the administration of the fullness of the times. All that is tied with the kingdom of God. Now we don't have the intellect to understand that. But one day we will grow to be able to live in that reality. And all that is part of the revelation of the awesome mystery of Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's turn to Colossians. Verse 26, chapter 1. The mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you listening? Christ in you, the hope of glory. We don't have the capacity to understand that verse, but we need to understand this. If you set your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ and never let that hope be shaken, no matter what happens to your life, you will realize this great mystery of the treasure of the Father's heart, the wealth of the Father's heart. The wealth of the Father's heart that is going to be unveiled in you in Christ Jesus by the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. So as we finish part two of this module on entering, part two of this salvation module, we need to understand that entry into the kingdom of God is a must in our salvation. We must understand that salvation leads to entry into the kingdom of God. Hello. Salvation is not about entering into the kingdom of the world. Salvation is about entering into the kingdom of God. That the promises and blessings that God has been waiting for generations to give to us can only be given to us if we rise into the reality of the kingdom of God, unveiled in the mount of the Lord. Amen. And for us to receive and realize and hold such a position in God, we must understand that the law of the mount is a law of holiness. Praise the Lord. How do we become holy and pure? By the washing with the water of the word in renewal and regeneration by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise for this awesome plan of citizenship in the kingdom of God. A plan of citizenship that is unveiled in a process called salvation, Father. A plan of citizenship that is to unveil us as sons of the living God. Each one of us anchored in the mount of the Lord. Each one of us holy instruments of the living God. Each one of us a new creation in Christ Jesus. Each one of us entirely the workmanship of the living God. Each one of us a peculiar expression of the fullness of Jesus Christ unveiled through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us a blessing in the making. Each one of us morning stars brought forth in the image and fullness of the bright morning star. Father, we can scarcely appreciate how you have blessed us. But we realize, O God, that salvation is a process of being blessed, Father. That it is a process in which we are purified so that we can actually be blessed by you. So that we can actually take positions of authority in the kingdom of God. So that we can actually become vessels of your power. So that we can truly unveil, O God, all things as you have designed them to be. You have chosen each one of us to bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Enable us to understand that the heavenly places open through the mount of the Lord. That everything that you have for the church of Jesus Christ It can only be received and attained as we rise into the mount of the Lord. And all it takes to enter into the mount of the Lord is hope in you, O Father. Hope in your precious Son. Hope that will truly enable the Holy Spirit to work into us. The substance of faith that will unveil the evidence of who we are in Christ Jesus. Indeed, Christ in us is the hope of glory. Indeed, we will be manifested in the glory of your grace. Indeed, we shall celebrate the glory of your grace forever and forever. And our life in you is a growing celebration. We thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we take delight in the fear of the Lord as we ascend to the destiny you have given us in Jesus Christ. The destiny you have opened to us in his merits. So we give you all glory and honor, worship and praise. Thanking you, Father, for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen.